Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Evening. Nice. I think my ego's running away with me. I left a purposefully large gap to build up a moment of suspense. Perhaps there's some people desperately wondering where I am, thinking, my goodness, he might not be here again. And they went through a small moment of panic and then came out the other side. Or, more likely, people are just mildly listening in the background, suffering a hangover from a large Saturday night out. Listen, they're all welcome. I'll take whoever's here. My name is Vinny. Let's do all the usual stuff at the beginning, which is slightly boring, and then get to the bit that's a bit more exciting. What's going on with this microphone, for a start? You seen this? I know, I appreciate this isn't making very good radio, but I stand up to do my show, as does Jerry Agar, and all other professionals. Not like the lazy bullards of this world, or Chens. But it would appear that this mic is only angled for people that are prepared to sit, or at least be of a very small stature. Look at that! So this is how it would sound if I carried on the show in the normal fashion, which for some people may be a promotion. Let's try and get it up. I wish that was the first time I'd said that. What a state. Honestly, isn't this the this is the biggest talk radio station in Canada? And this is the opening of what I like to think is one of the best radio shows. And it would actually, normally, if I let this thing go, sound like this. Hi, how you doing? I'm Vinny. I don't know. Thank you for coming in. Elliot came in. Well, I'll hold it, I suppose. It'll be like doing a bit of stand-up comedy, won't it? Although probably without the comedy. I'll just hold it up. Oh, it's really off-putting. So, always the professional. Well, at least you can tell it's live. 9:11 is your time. My name is Vinny White, and I'll be holding your microphone throughout the shot, and throughout the show even. And throughout the show. And so we'll see how we go. All right, usual stuff. Phone the show on 416-872-1010, particularly if you're a microphone technician living locally. 416-872-1010. You can call toll-free if times are hard. 877-518-5151. Incredibly unmemorable number, that one. You can also do something clever with your cell phone. Star talk, star 8255, which is all very good. And you can text us anytime you like on 71010. I wonder if I could... Or during a break, what I'm going to do, I'm going to stack up a load of boxes so it props it up. That'll be a double bonus because you won't be able to see my beer belly on the webcam then. See? Everything happens for a reason. Serendipity right there. So what are we doing this show on? Oh, loads of stuff. I've had a good week, actually. I'm back, by the way, in case you didn't know. I was here last week. Where were you? Goodness sake. Pull your socks up. I was in Nicaragua for a while. Now I'm back. Film will be out in 6 months. Should be all right. Don't want to oversell it. I made a documentary when I was there, you see. Also, I've got an announcement to make next week about something that's happened with the project since. But I didn't say anything about it yet because it's a bit too early. So there you go. So I'm back and I'll be doing a radio show through till 10 o'clock. You've got all the phone numbers. Oh, you can do the Facebook thing if you want. Vinny White. V-I-N-N-E-Y White. And yeah, that's what you need, I think. Right. You sound better than you usually do, is the first text. Thanks. Is that a compliment? That's like going up to someone in a bar and saying, you're so much nicer than you seem. Okay. I sound like a woman, don't I? I love that about women. And I know it's a sweeping, ridiculous generalisation, but it's so often in my time, I've said, you're great.
Oh, because I'm wearing makeup today. Is that what it is? Yeah, because I don't usually wear makeup and I look like a horse. Is that what you're saying?
No, I just meant you look great. So what should we start with? Well, I'll talk about what happened this week, and I'd like to get you involved, as always, on those telephones. You can phone about anything as well if you want, particularly if you had advice on how to prop up a microphone. 416-872-1010. But I'll tell you about what happened to me this week. Good week, actually. It's all right to be back. And the weather is slowly coming out of what can only be described as a depressing mess. I don't understand winter people. I met a winter person this week. Like, that's okay. I don't get it. See, I get it. I get it more when I used to live in Ottawa. Because living in Ottawa, at least you can go snowboarding in like half an hour, you know, and snowshoeing and skating on the canal. I don't really get it when I meet people that live downtown that like winter. What is there to like? Everything's slower. You have to get on a streetcar, which we've talked about this before, but let's just leave it as they're not the most efficient mode of transport. I don't know why you'd want to live downtown. I don't know why. I don't get it. If you really like the cold weather in Toronto and you live downtown, move to Iqaluit. Can't get enough. Or Winterpeg, as they call it. So anyway, I think we're slowly coming out the other side, and thank, insert religious figure here, for that. Ugh, hate winter. Fed up with it. And I appreciate I wasn't here for about 2 months, but it was evil. And no, we don't have winters like this in London. We only have wet ones. And it starts raining January the 1st and finishes usually about December the 31st. That's the London weather. It's a bit like Vancouver, but not as pretty. But we're funny, so that's okay. Right, what was I on about? Oh yeah, so let's do this. So I went to the zoo this week. I own a software... No, I don't own a software company. I own a software training company. If you need to learn Adobe software, why not go to AdobeTrainingToronto.com. AdobeTrainingToronto.com. You think the boss will notice that? I think it was subtle. AdobeTrainingToronto.com. Subtle is the way. But yeah, I got a training company and I teach people how to use Photoshop and Dreamweaver and stuff. It's a laugh. It's good. And I did the biggest job I've ever done this week because I was teaching in Toronto Zoo. Not the animals. They don't need it. But the graphics people in the administration block, which, by the way, if ever you go to Toronto Zoo, so hard to find the administration block. I found pandas before I found where I needed to be. That's never happened to me in any situation. I can safely say that never in my life have I tried to get somewhere and accidentally encountered pandas on the way. Never happened. Even in China, even in the Guangdong province where I was living in the wild, didn't happen. Anyway, so I did that. It was good. Really great students, really great people. If they're listening, they were great. If they're not listening, didn't like them. But they were great and a lot of fun. And I taught software. It's a 2-day course, and I had to teach them how to use InDesign, which is like it's a page layout application. You know, when you're using Word and you want to headbutt everything and throw your computer out the window, this is the solution to that. It's a good actual functional software where you don't get antagonized by a paperclip. And so it was great. I had a really good time. And I think the highlight would have to be my lunch breaks, where I was allowed to tour the zoo at my leisure. And on Friday, I had lunch with giraffe. I think, is it giraffes or giraffe? I don't know the plural.
Giraffes.
Is it? Because it's moose is plural. Elephant, I've heard, is both. So let's do sort of half. I had lunch with giraffes. Non-committal. Which was great. And I just had the nicest time. Nothing particularly exciting happened. Usually I'd love to give you a story. I don't think I've got one. But it was an epic adventure. And so I thought I'd start by asking you, what do you think of the zoo? Because I think it's great. Giraffes are amazing. I could happily have lunch with them every day. There was one being somewhat antagonized by a Canada goose. And I was thinking, it's weird that they're together. Because I can guarantee in Africa right now, where there's a lot of giraffe, there's no Canada goose in a zoo. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't working the same in reverse. But it was quite a sight, and I had a lovely time. So if you like the zoo, or you don't like the zoo, if you've got anything to say about the zoo, go. But I would encourage you, if you've never been, you must go. Not on a training exercise where you don't pay to get in, like I did. Put your hand in your pocket, like I should have done. We'll take a call. I don't know who this is. We'll do it at random. Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this isn't Vinny, is it?
I'm afraid it is, yeah. You've come straight through to the nerve centre, and you're... thank goodness you're not live on the radio, because that would be okay. Very daunting.
Well, okay. When you said that you had lunch with giraffe, It sounded like you had lunch with giraffe on the side, giraffe meat on the side.
Oh, it sounded like I was eating giraffe.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Oh, I think we better set that record straight.
On the side, it sounded so gross.
Yeah, I see your point. Thanks for clearing that up.
All right.
I'll get on it. No giraffe were harmed in the making or the eating of my lunch. At no point did I eat any animal. Well, actually, I think there's some chicken in the sandwich, but that was not stolen from any coos. And that is a fact. That's on the record. Glad we cleared that up. You know, actually, I was talking to a security guard when I was there, a And I said, what's the... Because he was bored out of his mind. Did 12-hour shift sitting in a truck painted as a zebra, which has to get boring pretty quickly. And I said to him, what's the craziest thing you've ever had to do here? He said, there was a fella once, it was about 3 years ago, and he tried to steal a snake. And one of the other security guards caught him at it. I couldn't believe it. And so I started looking it up. Do you know there's quite a problem with theft of zoos across the world? Someone stole a penguin in New Zealand. How do you smuggle that out? Like a proper big emperor penguin, not the little fellas that you find in Africa. Proper one. I mean, I assume it was a child penguin, but nonetheless, that's going to be tricky. Unless you put it down one trouser leg and the beak was sticking out your fly. And then everyone will run the other way because they think you're some sort of deluded exhibitionist. There's a bit of advice for anyone that's thinking of stealing a penguin. So I want to talk about a few things. We'll talk about the zoo. I'd like to hear your thoughts. 416-872-1010. Ever stolen an animal? What animal would you like to steal? And is it worth being a panda? Listen, I like pandas. Don't get me wrong. They're lovely. And I asked the graphic designers there if they photoshopped smiles onto the pandas, because if you notice all the promotional material, pandas are smiling. I've never seen a panda smile. Apparently, if you catch them at the right light at the right time, they are smiling. But they're not happy animals, and they've got one thing for their diet. It's a nightmare to get hold of. They only have a shag every year for a window of all of 72 years. Sorry, 72 hours. Never mind, 72 years. And if you have the fortune to be a panda in the wild in China, they're now getting so worried about them mating that they've started showing them panda porn. Not joking, actual fact. Yes, sometimes in the wild, more often in captivity, of course, to get pandas humping, they have to show them porn of other pandas doing it. Niche. I'll tell you what, there's everything. Everything is available on the internet now. I was going to go for the high heels. You know what? I feel a bit pandery. I think it's aimed at pandas, but you know what? There's always one or two wrong ones. So we'll talk about that and whatever else is bubbling away. Also, I went axe throwing this week. And we'll listen to and perhaps take apart the actions of a pastor in the United States of America that's irritated me of late. All that coming up, News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I'm a bit confused about this panda thing. Because earlier on Pay Show, I said that it costs $1 million a year for us being Toronto, to rent them from China. But I've had a lot of texts from people saying that's not correct because they were a gift. Which I think, that's what I remember reading, but I tell you why I said that. Because the staff of the zoo told me. So I don't know who to believe. So how did we get these pandas? Is it theft? Was it a gift? Are we paying? What do we do? Go to rentapanda.com? I don't know. I don't know how we got them. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's nice to have them. Although, to be honest, I mean, I don't want to sound critical because I know they're rare and I know that they're... Uh-oh, I'm digging. They don't do a lot. Do you know what I mean? For the price it costs to get into the zoo, you could at least teach them to juggle. Or at least, you know, old school, a unicycle. Or, for the benefit of everyone, have sex. What I'm saying is, I'm prepared to be broadcast into the panda cage on a weekly basis and just offer some words of encouragement. Have you got any Barry White? Can you organise some of that? So if the pandas are listening now, because somebody told me that they're nearly on heat, 72 hours in a year. What a window. Not fussy, are they? So if they are, I just want to say this. Just look at her. Look at her big black eyes. Look at her lovely soft flowing fur. Look at her big ears. Hold on to her ears. Go on, get on closer to her. Put an arm around her. Go to. And now, without being rude, flip her over. And what I want you to do is just whisper in her ear something like, "You're the best looking panda I've ever seen." And now, in case there's kids listening, I won't carry on. But what I'm saying is, oh yeah, that is what I'm saying. Just a quick more blast, just one more, because they might be at it. And keep it up. As Barry says, keep on. Just keep on until the job is done. Just keep it up, baby cakes. Oh, yeah. Think about the species. Procreation. I know it's feeling like forever and ever, but sometimes you've just got to make a baby. You don't have to worry about the childcare or the school or university fees. It's all taken care of. Come on.
Oh, yeah!
Okay, I think that'll do it. That was impromptu. I didn't know it was going to happen.
I didn't know it was coming. I didn't know it was coming. I said I didn't know it was Elliot, I said I didn't know it was because I didn't...
Shut up. All right. I'm going to talk about axe throwing soon. Well, there's a transition. From pandas to axe throwing, but first, an annoying televangelist. You never know where it's going to go. So I want to talk about this guy. A popular televangelist claims four blood moons are the sign of the world-changing event. Now, he conveniently fails to go into detail here. Four lunar eclipses are set to blaze the sky on Tuesday. The eclipses will occur in roughly six-month intervals until about October 2015. The blood moons fall on Passover and during the Feast of Tabernacles. So, yes, the heavens are putting on a celestial show this week. And one, a Christian pastor, is convinced is a sign from God. Best-selling author and televangelist, Pastor John Hagee. You may have seen him on various... he's kind of everywhere. He's like Glenn Beck in that he's annoying, spouts off an enormous amount of bull, won't go away, and is really rich. Best-selling author and televangelist Pastor John Hagee claims the four blood moons that will soon appear in the skies over America are evidence of future world-shaking event. Thanks for being specific. Love it when these guys do this. Something massive's going to happen. Oh, yeah. How many people agree with you? 20,000 in my congregation every Sunday. Oh, great. So you've got vulnerable people that would believe anything. And what is it they're going to believe? Don't know, but I'll tell you soon. Tell me now, then. I can spout off anything. Tuesday, a big red bus is going to drive through every town in the world with cats flying out the window. All right? Got any evidence? Nah. It's what Jesus probably said, maybe, what he might have done, sort of, if you interpret that way, through various books and translations of those there books. According to NASA, seeing four complete lunar eclipses is a very rare thing. The skies have been tetrid-free, tetrid is the term for this, from 1600 to 1900. But in the 21st century, there will be many. What's even stranger is that Americans have a front row seat. The most unique thing about the 2014-2015 tetrid is that all of them will be visible from every single part of the USA and here in Canada, which, according to NASA, is perfectly normal but rare and exciting. That's according to a NASA spokesman. But why listen to science when you can listen to Hagee, founder of the Texas Cornerstone Church? He thinks it's no coincidence. For him, it's a sign of the end times.
The Bible speaks of signs in the heaven. What does it mean? What is the prophetic significance?
Do tell us.
Is this the end of the age?
Don't know, but tell us in detail.
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome Day of the Lord.
Awesome. Tell me more.
I believe that the heavens are God's billboard, that he has been sending signals to planet Earth, and we just haven't been picking them up.
Let me pause that for a second.
I'm going to walk you through 500 years.
Thanks. I believe that God has been sending signals to planet Earth, and we just haven't been picking them up. Not very good signals, then, are they?
The Bible speaks of signs in the heaven and picking them up. I'm going to walk you through 500 years and show you how God is literally screaming at the world.
Screaming, but no one can hear him. Soon.
The coming four blood moons points to a world-shaking event that will happen between April 2014 and October 2015.
What is it?
Jesus said in Mark 13:24-26, but in those days the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give its light. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That verse describes a time in the future when the sun and the moon will eclipse at the same time. And God sends planet Earth a signal that something big is about to happen.
Tell us, I can't
He's
wait.
He's controlling the sun and the moon right now to send our generation a signal. But the question is, are we getting it?
It's not really the question, is what is it? If you know what it is, if you know there's a message that's being sent by God in a peculiar array of planetary movements, would you mind passing on what it is? Well, ladies and gentlemen, do not fear, because the 73-year-old preacher has been preparing for the Tetrad for years. He released a book about the blood moons last October and will go into depth about his speculations during a special TV event on Tuesday as all hell breaks loose on this planet. Or not. Just as in biblical times, God is controlling the sun, the moon and the stars to send our generation a signal that something big is about to happen. The question is, are we watching and listening to his message? Haggy writes in his book and says there, which is it's a good book, actually, for propping up wonky tables. In 2008, Haggy was... is it Haggy or Haggy?
I say Haggy.
Where? Haggy.
I don't know.
In 2008, Haggy was criticised for suggesting that Hurricane Katrina was a result of God's wrath towards the city of New Orleans for planning a rally for gays and lesbians. So Katrina, which I always thought was a scientific event, which may or may not, but probably is certainly at least pinned to rising global warming, was actually an act of God. It's weird that he'd pick that and not San Francisco. And by the way, I'm from Brighton in the south of England, which has a higher gay population than any other town per capita in the whole of Europe. And it's never had, such a monstrous spectacle as Hurricane Katrina in the history of recorded time. So it's weird that they didn't pick Brighton. Just saying, that's what I'd do if I was a homophobic figure in the sky. Now, odd then that San Francisco was left, but what's really weird about this guy, and I have no desire to get into religion bashing whatsoever, but I do have problems with people like this, because on one of his Jesus is here, Jesus is in you all telecasts in 2008, Hagee disclosed to an audience that he had recently undergone successful heart bypass surgery, which, by the way, I'm fairly confident is a recent scientific procedure that saved his life, one that can't be performed on most of the evangelical people on the earth, because the majority of them live in a place that doesn't have the healthcare that could provide a heart bypass, or if they do live in the USA, they might not be able to afford it. About 9% of Americans attend an evangelical service on any given Sunday. But what really is spectacular about this man is his wealth. Since Hagee and his wife, Diane Hagee, founded their evangelical TV empire 25 years ago, the organisation has gone from a backroom operation broadcasting Sunday sermons to a few people in San Antonio in Texas, to what it is today, a 50,000-square-foot multimedia studio broadcasting to 127 television stations and 82 radio stations nationwide, including, by the way, plenty of stations in and around Canada. In 2001, the corporation, it netted $12.3 million from donations, $4.8 million in profit from the sales of books and tapes, and an additional $1.1 million from various other sources, including rental income from properties owned by the corporation. The corporation owned by that man. As the non-profit organization's president, Hagee drew $540,000 as an annual salary, as well as an additional $302,000 in compensation for his position as president of the Cornerstone Church, according to the GETV's tax statements. The tax statements that were put through by his company. And just to remind you, at the beginning of that, I said that was in 2001. He also received $411,000 in benefits from GETV. His company has a $2.1 million... What is it? 7,000-acre ranch with five lodges, including a main lodge and a gun locker. It also includes a manager's house, a smokehouse, a skeet range, and three barns. Taken together, his payment package 13 years ago, not now, back in 2001, then was $842,000 a year in compensation. And, that's not enough, $414,000 in benefits. So 11 years ago, this guy was earning $1.2 million a year, right? The highest pay package for a non-profit director in San Antonio, and that
was 11 years ago. So can you even begin to imagine the wealth that this guy has now? And that, no matter what your doctrine or belief, is disgusting. So I think we're going to get through Tuesday, and I'm fairly confident we're going to be all right. 416-872-1010, if you have anything to add. Let's take a caller from line one. Hello.
I was calling to say that you're talking about Hagee. The money he's making, because he's a reverend, most of that is tax-free down the States.
Absolutely.
Taxed by the IRS.
You're absolutely right. You are right, of course. And the company that he owns, which is where he puts most of his money through, is a registered charity. So, yeah, absolutely. So well done him for yet more digits to that enormous, ridiculous pay packet that he's got. There are people, Andrew, that are listening to this that would be offended by my lashing out. What would you say to them?
Well, you know, it is what it is. I think it's outrageous that these people make this kind of money. But, you know, of course, I'm not on the other side of the the other side of the scam. So
yeah, fair play. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, good point. Tax free. Ka-ching. 20,000 people go to his mega church every week. That's 20,000 lost vulnerable people that are being brainwashed. They are! You should hear some of the things he says. God's going to strike down homosexuality and all of its manifestations. It's just... By the way, can I just make clear, anyone that's just tuned in, that wasn't me saying that. That was a quote. For any homosexuals that have just tuned in, I really feel I should explain that. Okay, good. you can text the show on 71010. What have we got so far? You're on fine form tonight. Thank you. That's very kind of you. It seems they forget the sun and moon do not follow Earth's calendar, says Barry. Good point. Yeah, Earth is a pathetic speck and a recent addition to this universe. Referring to the panda love life, somebody's texting, 72 hours in a year is the only time that pandas have sex? I think my wife's a panda. Boom! Love what he did. Not sure his wife does, but I love what he did. We'll be back talking about axe throwing next on News Talk 1010.
This is the Venny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Would you like to download the podcast of this show? Then why not, baby cakes? Get yourself to vinnywhite.co.uk. V-I-N-N-E-Y, white.co.uk. All right. I'm live from Toronto, by the way. And what else do I need to tell you? Oh, yeah, that's it. Quick advert for my business. Do you need your photos blown up on canvas? Then why not use MrPhotoCanvas.com? The best value printing service for your canvas prints in Toronto. MrPhotoCanvas.com. I think I've done quite a lot of advertising on this show, haven't I? You might as well use it. Both my listeners are going to love it. I went axe throwing this week. This is part of a broader story that you may become familiar with this year. I said to myself when I was away, riding around on a motorbike in Nicaragua, when I get home to Toronto, I need to meet some more people, because sadly, a lot of my friends decided to leave. Such a transient town, isn't it? A lot of my friends decided to leave while I was gone. So I've come home to not having that many mates. Would you like to be mates with me? No, that's desperate. I was a bit upset when I came back. So I said to myself, I'm now going to join as many groups as possible. And I'm going to go out of my comfort zone and do lots of things that I wouldn't necessarily do. So this year, hopefully, you'll hear me doing lots of weird things. Because that's how you meet people, isn't it? Joining groups, learning stuff, having a go. So I went axe throwing, and which is exactly how it sounds. It, by the way, is the most Canadian thing I've ever done. I think if you were to eat a beaver tail and sail down a river on a wooden canoe full of moose head, it wouldn't be quite as Canadian as throwing axes. It is exactly what it sounds like. And it's also exactly what you might think it is. Because does that conjure up images of men wearing plaid with beard? Yes. I was the only guy without plaid and without a beard. Even the women had beards. Which is awkward because I'm about to speak to one that is beardless. No, I met Kelly while I was there, and I said to her, would she mind coming on the radio show and explaining what the hell axe throwing is, where it's come from, and if people want to get involved. So, hello, Kelly.
Hi there, Vinny.
Nice speaking to you.
It's lovely speaking to you as well.
I don't remember you having any form of facial hair, did you?
No, I don't. My husband's got that covered in spades, though.
I met your husband, and he is one hairy animal. He looks a bit like a panda, but not quite as cute, if I may be so bold. So tell me, I've got so many questions. I think we'll start with this. It was my first attempt at axe throwing. How did I do?
I think you did pretty well. You seemed to enjoy yourself. You seemed to get the hang of it quite quickly after, you know, a few practice throws where the axe did what an axe is going to do and bounced off the board a few times.
Mm.
You seemed to get the hang of it quite quickly, and you seemed to quite enjoy it.
Oh, I loved it. I really did. There's something very therapeutic about it. It's weird because I quite like cleaning floors, and I always thought I was sort of, which is weird, but I do. And so I always thought I was more in touch with my feminine side, perhaps. And then I picked up an axe, and I felt like a real man. Grr.
And you'll never clean floors again.
Never.
For therapy, will you?
Floors are disgusting, and all my walls have massive axe wounds.
I much prefer axe throwing to floor washing myself.
Tell me so many things. Let's start with this. Where did this start, and how did you find out about it?
This league was started by a gentleman named Matt Wilson. He is actively running both leagues. So there's one over Sterling Road out in the East Junction area, and there is the Villiers location where you threw out in the East End.
Mm.
And he started this off quite some time ago with a bunch of mates hanging out in his backyard throwing axes for entertainment.
Is it just a sort of microcosm thing, or is this perhaps a broader worldwide thing that I didn't know about?
Well, it's funny because there is tomahawk throwing, which there's different venues that have that as sort of an annual event.
Mm.
I don't know that there's any sort of league. This is the first time I'd ever heard of a league that, you know, organized themselves like darts or bowling or any other sort of, you know, group activity.
What?
But yeah, Matt put this together with his mates, and it got to be so popular he had to move it to a facility.
Well, that was my first observation. I thought it was going to be the girl that I went along with, Karen, and told mm-hmm. me about it. I knew she'd be there, and she said there's a handful of other people. It's packed. There's people, yeah. Axes throwing all over the show in a safe environment, may I add.
Absolutely safe. They have an impeccable safety record.
Yeah,
everybody goes there to have a good time, and everyone is very well aware of the safety rules. So. Axes go one direction, people stay on the other side.
Well, and I made a terrible social faux pas the first moment because there's two axe throwers next to each other. And, of course, you can't, if you're thrown an axe, you, me being a selfish git, thought, oh, that's that done, I'll go and get it. And then, of course, I was told, for God's sake, stand back because there's an axe coming your way.
Yes. You're hoping that it sticks in the board, but there are times when it just doesn't do that, and it boomerangs or ricochets.
And it does, yeah, you're right. That's it. Even if it doesn't get you on the way, it might well get you on the way back, the rebound. So, impeccable safety record, and that's what I got. It is a safe sport, despite it sounding a bit
Absolutely.
Sort of malicious.
Mm-hmm.
What does it do for you as a person?
It's funny you should say that. You mentioned therapy earlier, and it's a really great place to go. To hang out with your friends, there's quite a bit of camaraderie. There's quite a bit of, what's what I'm looking for, trash talk.
Mm.
The trash talk is quite fun amongst your friends. And it's funny, we spent the very first season playing, learning the game, going along, trying to understand how to play and get better. Then it came playoffs. And all of a sudden it became, wow, now we're competitive because we know what we're doing here.
Yeah.
So it was good to blow off steam. It's good to challenge your friends. It's good to challenge yourself, actually, because every game you want to get better and better. So.
And you're pretty good, Kelly, from what I saw.
I enjoy myself. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. And your hubby, he's too good.
Oh, yeah. He has a lot of fun. He's quite good. And it's funny, now between the two of us in the same league, it's getting quite competitive. So we're already talking about this. Championship for the next round.
Well, I was speaking to Karen today, the mutual friend of ours that introduced me to this, and I said, and I genuinely mean this, I'm not just saying this for radio, can I join the league?
Oh, you can absolutely join the league. At this point, I believe there is a waiting list.
And oh, shut up. I'm a superstar.
I know you're a superstar, but there are drop-ins on Wednesday evening. Each of the league members can bring a friend. It's a nominal cost of $10, and you can throw for the night with other league members.
Okay.
But there's still a way to experience it. If you're on a waiting list, you can still get your fill-in, but you've got to go with a league number.
See, that must prove its popularity, the fact there's a waiting list for it.
Oh, goodness. Drop-in nights, there's a league that goes on. There were two parties there last drop-in night. One was a bunch of IT guys, and another was a bunch of insurance people.
And you get, well, no, that's a bit weird. I wonder who is better. Do you know who is better out of them?
I think the insurance people were louder, but I think the IT guys were neater. So they had little targets that they bought and put them on the board, and it was quite fun to watch them.
It's absolutely sticking with all the stereotypes that were already in my mind then. The geeks were geeky, and insurance people could be a bit brash. Shocker.
I'm just telling it like it is.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. So I'm going to join the league when I get the opportunity. I'm going to go down on a regular basis. Just to describe it, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think I can do a reasonable job. It's absolutely the probably the opposite to many a Friday night out on King Street. There's no pretension. It's wear what you want. It's people with no or little makeup on just being real. And that's what really struck me about it. There's no animosity. No. There's no my car's better than yours. It's just people having a laugh.
Are.
It's so it's almost Neanderthalic, but in a beautiful sense.
Well, it is. It's you find your tribe. You go there. You have a really good time. You go in there. Maybe you're a little bit tense or frustrated from the day. By the time you've left, you've thrown. If you've thrown five matches, you've thrown 75 axes.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's 75 opportunities to get a lot of tension and frustration out.
Do you have to bring your own axe?
Yes, you absolutely do. So the first night you go, they'll sell you an axe. It's a standard 1¼, is it? 1.5-pound axe, got a wooden handle. So there's regulations to what you can throw.
Mm.
They'll provide you with it for a nominal fee, and off you go. One of the funner things about it, I guess, if funner is an adjective, is actually people take quite a bit of pride in decorating, painting their axes. I'm sure when you were there, you recall seeing some of them were painted.
Well, there's one girl that enjoys beekeeping, and she's put yellow and black tape around her axe. So
Karen
on first
has
look,
a fantastic axe.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a beautiful axe.
What giveaway? Who's the beekeeper?
What does your axe say on it?
Mine just has a really lovely stain on it. I put a strip of hockey tape down the back as my secret for a bit of grip and just a bit of Canadiana red at the axe head. So,
can I have a Union Jack on my axe?
Oh, absolutely. You can come to Axe Lab. We have something called Axe Lab in our basement. And,
no, you don't, do you?
Vinny, yes, we do. We'd be happy to invite you over to Axe Lab, and you can paint up your axe with a Union Jack, and you can sharpen it and hang out and drink beer, just like battle.
Oh, we forgot to mention that, by the way, that B word. Yeah, there is some beer drunk there as well. Can you bring along a few tinnies and hang out with the guys?
Yes, you can absolutely bring a couple of tins of beer with you. They don't allow any glass, obviously, for safety rules. And
yeah. Why would you allow glass where there's axes hurtling through the air? That would be outrageous.
No, absolutely. You mind your P's and Q's. You throw a few axes, have a few laughs with your mate, and by the time you leave, you've had a really good night.
You're absolutely right. Although I did hear a few F-bombs along the way, dear. It's not for the faint of heart.
Maybe a few F-bombs.
See, it goes with the whole process, I would say. You can't throw an axe without a cheeky little F-bomb here and there.
No, well, Karen and I at practice last week discovered if you grunt like tennis players, it's actually that much more satisfying when you throw.
Is that a tactic as well? Because that could put off your opponent, couldn't it?
It actually does. It's quite alarming, the noises that one can make throwing an axe.
Let me just do a quick rehearsal. How's that?
Pretty good. Yeah. Work a little bit more guttural.
Ironically, it's the same sound as when the axe flies into my head. Yeah. If people want to join this, and they would be insane not to, and I do honestly mean that, it is such a great laugh. If people want to join it, how would they go about it?
You'd have to contact Matt Wilson, and I believe the website is battle.ca. BATL.ca, and there's a contact link on there. It tells you a little bit about the league, gives you some really exciting photographs of everybody else having fun. There's the classic group portrait, which is quite fun. So if you go there and attend an event, the last portrait you'll take is everybody giving a middle finger to the camera, which is a really interesting way of sort of keeping it fun, low-key, like you said, just people having fun and doing what they're going to do.
Love it. And I can't recommend it enough. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us on News Talk 1010 tonight.
My pleasure, Vinny. Thanks for having me.
Throw on? I don't know. Keep throwing? Something like that?
Absolutely. Can't wait to see you. Come out on Wednesday.
All right, Treacle. See ya.
All right. Cheers.
I shouldn't have said Treacle, because if her husband's listening, who, by the way, is like Grizzly Adams, the scariest man I've ever seen, particularly when he's literally wielding an axe. So can I just, any flirtation that happened during that phone call, can I just make sure that it was an impartial interview and I have no interest in your wife? She's lovely. I'm digging. Get me out of this. She's lovely. It's just that, all right, please don't hit me. For God's sake, don't axe me. That's all I'm asking. We'll be back in a minute with some more stuff on the Vinnie White Show. This is News Talk 1010.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
You can download the podcast at vinniewhite.co.uk, V-I-N-N-E-Y, white.co.uk. It's up every week, usually when I get around to it on a Monday. Don't have my own technical IT, peeps. It's all me, baby. So hopefully you enjoy that. You can listen to me on the go, wherever you want to be. Always amazes me how stupid people are. I don't know if it should, but it does. I'm not one for Twitter. I pop on there every now and then. You can have a look if you like. Vinnie White is the handle, as the cool kids say. But I know that 14-year-olds aren't known for their intellect, but this one really freaked me out. This is today's news. 14-year-old tweeted terrorist threat and then freaked out when American Airlines responded. Yeah, this morning, a Twitter account allegedly belonging to a 14-year-old girl named Sarah tweeted the following message at American Airlines. Hello, my name is Ibrahim, and I'm from Afghanistan. I'm part of Al-Qaeda, and on June the 1st, I'm going to do something really big. Bye! Now, I guess, knowing, particularly in thought of last week's conversation about the Homeland Security somewhat forthwith attitude, shall we say. You know what I mean. Strong. Knowing that, it might not have been that good idea. American Airlines swiftly responded, Sarah, we take these threats very seriously. Your IP address and details will be forwarded to security and the FBI. Then Sarah, whose account is chock full of fan messages for teen pop star Demi Lovato, who I'm very proud to say I don't know who that is, which means I'm officially lost it. Do you know who that is, Elliot?
I barely know.
Does that mean I'm cool or you're cool?
It's hard to say.
I like to think I'm cool for not knowing. Like, it happens when you get old, isn't it? You actually actively enjoy not knowing who the teen pop stars are. Anyway, then Sarah, whose account is chock full of fan messages for teen pop star Demi Lovato, began to realise the error of her ways. So, cleverly, young Sarah, 14, of the United States, said, OMFG, I was kidding. She then said, I'm so sorry, I'm scared now. And then she said, I was joking, and it was my friend, not me. Take her IP address, not mine. Genius. She went on to say, I was kidding, please don't, I'm just a girl, please. And then she finally said, and I'm not even from Afghanistan, just to clear that up. People started picking up on what was going on and began sharing the conversation between the teen and the airline. Even though American Airlines only responded to the initial tweet, which Sarah never deleted, Sarah continued to tweet, talking about her sudden internet fame. Oh my God, I've got over 2,000 retweets, she said. What is that about? I'll tell you what that's about, love. At a guess, it might be because you said you're a terrorist and you implied that you might bomb an airline. I'm going to have a go at that. And what people are doing when they're retweeting it, they're not necessarily saying, isn't this girl clever? I'm just saying. She finished with this absolute gem, and even I might follow her. If you'd like to follow her, it's Queen Sarah. She finished with this. I'm not going to tell my parents. They'd tell me to delete my account. OMG, that would be the end of my life. Proving that teenagers still over-exaggerate and tend to say utterly ludicrous things. Fantastic. We love you. Oh, bless her. Now, I was going to do some other stuff, but I don't think I've got time. So I think I'll have to bump all that onto next week. I won't tell you what it was because there's no point. But it means that I've got nothing to prepare for next week. Loads of stuff. Thank you for your calls. I'm sorry I didn't get around to all of them. And I'll finish this show with a glass of wine. Pay the alcoholic, we all know. She's always got wine in the studio. Are you drinking it as well in the producer's booth?
I already had a bunch.
And I can tell you that I love you. Yeah, I've got a glass of wine. So cheers. Happy spring. Good to be back. And I love you all. And we'll leave it on that. See you later. See you next week.